if you were planning on catching the new Seth Rogen movie, The Interview, after unwrapping your presents on Christmas Day, you better make new plans. Sony canceled the release. But there are a bunch of other exciting holiday movies out this season, especially if you're a fan of musicals. There's a new take on the 70s Broadway hit Annie. And a Disney version of Stephen Sondheim's Into the Woods. NPR arts critic Bob Mondello and pop culture blogger Linda Holmes are here to talk about those films. Welcome to you both.
Hey.
Thank you.
I've got to be clear at the outset here, with I think four exceptions. I hate musicals.
With four exceptions?
And actually, Into the Woods is one of them, luckily enough.
Okay. Good.
I'm so curious now.
Yeah, what are the other ones?
Singing in the Rain, Sound of Music, the South Park movie, and...
Wow.
Whoa.
This is an eclectic... I don't know, man. That's quite a collection.
That and South Park. I'm impressed.
But this is not about analyzing me and my strangeness.
These are
important, significant cultural products.
Yeah, I mean, Into the Woods is a very, very well-regarded Stephen Sondheim fairy tale adaptation that has a very well-known television production from 1991. And Annie, of course, was a big Broadway hit and has had a couple of film adaptations.
There's a lot of fun in Into the Woods with having adults play the parts of kids because a lot of adult themes come up in that musical in a great way. But in the film, they actually have kids playing the kids' roles.
Well, the people who played these roles, particularly Little Red Riding Hood and Jack from Jack and the Beanstalk, on Broadway in particular, were not exactly adults. They were kind of older teenagers than these kids. And these are kind of younger teenagers who play even younger. But the difference is they are substantially younger seeming, and it changes both of those stories a little bit to make those kids so much younger.
Well, especially the number with Little Red Riding Hood and the Wolf, which on stage, there's a sexual undercurrent. Actually, it's barely an undercurrent. It's pretty much in the forefront. In the film, it comes across quite differently because she's maybe 13. She's a young child. And so the context of the number changes.
Mother said not to stray, still I suppose a small delay. Granny might like a fresh bouquet. Goodbye, Mr. Wolf.
Goodbye, little girl. And hello.
I love that number in the show, and the number in the movie is a little creepy.
Well, Johnny Depp is playing the surface of it. He's playing very much the sexual stuff that's in it.
Everything that would be subtext is text.
Right.
So is this a fundamental problem then? Because we're talking about adapting musicals to the screen. Could this have been done better, or is it just something that you can't quite get into a movie experience?
Well, you know, fans of musicals have a long history of being horrified by changes that are made to them when they are translated to film. I think Bob would back me up on that.
Yeah, for sure.
There is a history of taking out things that are considered too dark for movie audiences. Mm-hmm. And one of the results of that is that when you only see the movie versions of musicals, you wind up with a very sanitized version of what Broadway is. So I think actually Into the Woods does less of that than many other productions have. But it's Disney doing Sondheim, which is a shift in tone.
I think in a lot of respects, it works better than you might think it would, simply because you start from the advantage of it's a fantasy story. And so it does sort of make sense that people are singing on screen. You don't object to it in the way that you would in a more realistic context.
Now the other big musical out for the holidays that does not have the benefit of being set in the world of fantasy is, of course, Annie, the little orphan girl. But we've had some major changes from the stage productions in terms of the casting.
It's cast with Kevenjane Wallace, who is the star of Beasts of a Southern Wild. She's an African-American, and the character like Daddy Warbucks, who is now called Will Stax. He's now a phone executive who is running for mayor of New York.
What are you talking about? Get back here.
It's okay. I'm good at this part.
I've had a lot of practice getting kicked out of places.
And it's placed in a relatively real-seeming New York City.
Right. It was a show in 1980 about the Depression. And now it's a movie in 2014 about 2014.
You have to come up with different reasons for people to burst into song because it's a little stranger on the streets of New York. And they play the music a little differently in the movie. Some of the songs are done in the style of voiceovers, kind of, so that it feels like you're in a music video as opposed to the cast is running around the streets of New York singing. Hmm. So that's one difference. And then another is that they've written a bunch of new songs, including one that Linda said to me the other day sounds like it's trying to be Let It Go from Frozen. It's called Opportunity.
Big dreams becoming real tonight. So look at me and this opportunity. You're witnessing my moment, you see.
So I don't think this one is going to convert me. but for people who love musicals, though, you know, Linda, you love the original Annie. How did you feel about it?
I did enjoy it. When I was able to get out of my own head enough to not miss what I knew, I enjoyed a lot of things about it, and I think kids now might too.
Yeah, and I have to say that I was relieved not to hear the song Tomorrow 15 times the way that you do in the original. I think musicals have been making an interesting sort of comeback for the last few years. There's a move here to find ways to make musicals make sense in the post-Singin' in the Rain era, mm-hmm. right? And I think these films are both taking interesting approaches to that problem.
That's NPR arts critic Bob Mondello, along with Linda Holmes, editor of NPR's pop culture blog, Monkey See. Thanks, both of you. That was fun.
It was fun.
Thank you.